The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 139th episode of Dave's Gone By, brought to you by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine and Hewlett Minuteman Press on this Thursday, August 11th, 2005. We're here every Thursday night at 7 with a mix of talk radio, comedy, music, sketches. There's a show on a California radio station called Morning Becomes Eclectic. Well, Thursday evenings become eclectic on WGBB, because that's what it's all about on this show. If I were stuck doing the same thing over and over and over, I'd be pretty bored by now, or tapped out, exhausted. But because Dave's Gone By isn't solely a music show, a theater show, a talk show, or even a straight comedy show, because it's all of these things and more, I come to you fresh as a daisy, and I mean a fresh daisy, not one of those late summer daisies that hasn't been rained on for a week because of a heat wave. I'm talking brand new, stem-shooting, petal-fresh from now till 8 o'clock. And what's on this particular episode, I hear you ask? First, we've got Inside Broadway, our weekly look at New York theater on and off Broadway. Tonight, after much delay, finally, the musical Lennon arrives on Broadway this week, filled with the music and life of John Lennon. So we'll talk about that and yet another summer fringe festival, this one full of bad plays. And proud of it. That's on Inside Broadway, after which it's the News Gone By, a rundown of current events, and we really run them down. Think of it as Weekend Update meets The Daily Show meets the entire collected works of James Agee. Well, no, not really. Just wanted to throw that last one in there for gravitas. Anyway, a great big News Gone By tonight, including not one, but two new original songs, including a tribute to those lucky Russian sailors that got rescued last weekend, and another song for the not-so-lucky rest of us enduring sticker shock at the gas pumps. Now, don't you think that's enough for a nifty episode of Dave's Gone By? But wait! As the cliche goes, there's more! Perhaps you heard in the news last week about a new biography of guitar legend Jimi Hendrix. It's said to be meticulously researched, especially about his early life. And in doing so, the author unearthed a revelation about Jimi's early stint in the Army. More specifically, how he got out of the Army. To comment on this startling discovery, we'll have with us one of our favorite recurring guests, Peter Fitzgerald. Peter is, of course, the vice president of WiggleFar, the Woodmere Gay Liberation Front and Rear, and he will discuss the ramifications, or perhaps you would say the ramifications, of a homo Hendrix. That's all tonight on Dave's Gone By, hosted by me, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, humorist, and accident bold as love, and we will be experienced right after this.
Oh my God, the wedding is next month. We need flyers, invitations, booklets. Irving, we are screwed!
No, we're not, Pearl. We'll just go to Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Hewlett Minuteman? What can they do?
Printing, engraving.
Really?
Letterhead, souvenirs.
Wonderful! Are they still at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett?
Yep. 516-569-5577.
Well, stop dawdling! Let's go!
Yes, dear. Day after the wedding, I kill her.
And Dave Lefkowitz is here for the play-by-play by Dave in his book of plays, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Comedies, satirical, silly, sad, and strange, all collected in a great-looking book. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft, 516-295-1511, or davesgoneby.com for Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Da-da-da-da-da! Play Dave! Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably, the greatest of all rock and roll singer-songwriters, John Winston Ono O'Boogie Lennon. Paul McCartney may have had more singing range and a greater gift with melody, but John had the edge and grit and openness and experimental curiosity. Elvis Presley may have had more charisma, but how many songs did he write? Bob Dylan was surely the greater poet, but when it came to the creation of three-minute pop masterpieces, Dylan had a handful. Lennon and McCartney wrote trunkfuls. Did John Lennon's early terrible death add to his mystique? Absolutely. But he would have been John Lennon then, now, or in 2055. That kind of legacy deserves respect and reverence and love. But does it demand a Broadway show? Well, we're going to find out Sunday night when the biographical musical Lennon opens at the Broadhurst Theater. The idea was conceived by director Don Scardino, who worked on the show's book with playwright Eric Overmyer. And they didn't just want to do a review of John Lennon and Beatles songs. After all, Broadway's already seen Beatlemania. And who knew back then it would serve as a flexible template for shows like Mamma Mia, Good Vibrations, Moving Out, and the upcoming Jersey Boys, which revives the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. In Lennon, the idea is to go through John Lennon's creative life and show how he changed an era and how the era changed him, which leads to the valid question, whom do you get to play such an iconic and specific role? The answer turned out to be 12 different people. At least in early incarnations of the musical. The actors take turns being John Lennon in different situations and at different stages of his career, from mop-top madman to hairy hippie to the post-house husband homilies of Double Fantasy. Among the actors playing John and the people in his life are Broadway veterans like Terrence Mann, Chuck Cooper, and Julia Mooney. But when Lennon tried out in San Francisco in early spring, critics didn't quite warm to the show. They found the whole setup confusing and lacking a center, when the center should have been pretty obvious. But that's why you take a musical out of town before Broadway, to find things out like that. When Lennon left San Fran and started pre-production here, the producers brought in David LeBeau, who directed the current Fiddler on the Roof revival, to look things over and offer his input. Apparently, there was a lot to do because Lennon was forced to postpone its opening date from August 4th to this Sunday, August 14th. Does the show still need help because it's crippled inside? Or has the creative team managed some instant karma and been able to imagine a hit that'll make the audiences twist and shout for more? The critics will have their say next week, and you'd know what they said if you subscribed to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. For 61 years, a Bible of the theater industry, Performing Arts Insider not only gives you listings of every show on, off, and off Broadway, you can also read rumors and gossip of what's coming to New York in the months ahead. You can read short reviews of shows now playing to see whether they're worth your time and money. And if there's a show you really like, you get information on how to contact a playwright or an actor to send fan mail. All of that, plus a calendar listing of opera, cabaret, and dance events in Manhattan. Performing Arts Insider, published 21 times a year. So every 2 or 3 weeks, you get a fresh update on the cultural scene of New York City. You can subscribe for all 21 issues, or just 12 monthly issues a year. Either way, you get a 10% discount for being a Dave's Gone By listener. Just go to PerformingArtsInsider.com for all the subscription information you need. Or call 516-295-1511 and ask about the plan that's right for you. 516-295-1511. Give it as a gift to a college student living in Manhattan, or a gift to a theater lover for the Jewish holidays. Start them off with the September full preview issue. 516-295-1511. 1511 or visit performingartsinsider.com, because Performing Arts Insider is Broadway the best way. Returning to Inside Broadway, we go off Broadway for something funny. Now, I know we've spent a lot of time talking about the Midtown International Theater Festival, which just finished up, and we've got the New York International Fringe Festival starting in a couple of days. Well, there's yet another downtown festival, and it opened yesterday on Avenue A between 12th and 13th Streets in Manhattan. It features three series of one-act plays as part of the first annual Bad Plays Festival. That's right. A group called New York Artists Unlimited is producing a batch of short plays that are intentionally putrid. According to the press release, there'll be discussions after the plays for people to say just how lousy they are. And then, audiences vote for the very worst, which will get an extra couple of performances and win the coveted Golden Pineapple for being so bad they're good. You can even tell from some of the play titles that something is rotten in Tribeca. Plays like Screwing Rachel by Desi Moreno Pinson, Space Sluts Are Hotties by Jay Boyer, Blood Astounds Me by Don Chan Mark, The Hotter Crucible by Con Chapman, and my absolute favorite from writer Steven Pinto, The Unblackening of the Black Heart of King David Who Had a Black Heart. Tickets to the Bad Play Festival are cheap, which I have to say is apt, but I also have to say it sounds like fun. Find out more about the Bad Plays Festival at nyartists.org. nyartists.org. You know, I'll bet you somewhere Leonard Pimp Garnell is smiling. Inside Broadway.
We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Hey, theater lovers, do you like the Inside Broadway segment on Dave's Gone By? If you do, you can hear even more about Broadway and beyond on a special segment I do on Worldview. What's Worldview? Tell them, Joe Salzone.
Worldview is a 60-minute conversation about what's going on in the world, and it features Dave Lefkowitz's Theater Review and other great segments only on WGBB.
When is that?
Sunday night, 7 o'clock. Don't watch 60 Minutes. Instead, spend 60 minutes with us.
Ah, fine wine, great books, priceless antiques. All that's missing is something to listen to. Of course, old episodes of Dave's Gone By. The music, the comedy, the perceptive talk. And now, a layer of nostalgia. Delightful. Entire shows preserved on compact disc, any episode you choose. Just $14 shipping included. No home is complete without Dave's Gone By on CD. So visit davesgoneby.com because you're worth it.
Wake up the global village! NATUPI Warriors to tell everybody! News, news!
TV and the news of the world.
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good to relax.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. It's time for the News Gone By, a look at world and local events of the past week from a stone-free perspective. Some local politics to begin the News Gone By. Democratic lawyer Victor Bernace wants to run for city council, but he's had a tough time getting attention and support. So he's throwing a rather unusual fundraiser. Sometime in September, Bernace will charge $20 a head to be part of Havana Night. There'll be drinks and dancing and, quote, a sexy, erotic show, complete with bikini-clad go-go girls and men wearing nothing but briefs. Bernace told the Associated Press that most political fundraisers are boring. I'm trying, he said, to be part of the next generation. I'm not running for mayor in a small, old-time religious town in Utah. I'm running in New York City, so I might as well try to energize a different base, unquote. Well, considering the kind of party he's throwing, he may have trouble finding a base, but I'll bet he'll be able to raise his staff. But seriously, although Bernacci's Havana Night will be nudity-free, the exact opposite goes for one particular strip club near the Los Angeles airport, and the owner is proud of it. Howard White has been advertising the Century Lounge with a billboard reading, "Live Nude Nude Nudes." Not exactly subtle, but few people complained until he put up a new sign last week, a giant marquee reading, "Vaginas Are Us." Local officials were not pleased, but they wondered what they could do about it, since, as Councilman Bill Rosendahl said, quote, "The word vagina is not obscene, and we're not in a position to question the First Amendment," unquote. And hear, hear. But of course, there's always another way for Puritans to scale the invisible walls of freedom. They contacted Toys R Us, which is considering copyright infringement proceedings, and they found out that Howard's sign was made of a combustible vinyl that violates municipal codes. So, at least temporarily, he's going to have to take down the Vaginas R Us marquee. In its place, he's just going to leave a big open hole, which, come to think of it, works just as well. Speaking of civic lessons, Mexican police were trying to do the right thing for kids at a police-run summer camp. The camp serves 3,000 youngsters and is supposed to give them something constructive to do during the summer months. Unfortunately, one of the things they learned at camp was a military-style marching song. Now, in this little ditty, not written by John Philip Sousa, the lyrics tell of parricide, matricide, and other things kids can do for fun. Translated to English, the march goes, "I never had a father, and now I never will. The only one I had, I killed. I never had a sister, and now I never will. The only one I had, I threw into a ditch." Police in Mexico were hoping that the camp would create a positive image for them, since they're generally known for their brutality and corruption. Instead, now parents are up in arms, with one radio commentator saying the march evoked, quote, fascist youth groups. In response, the chief of police said, "Look, folks, it was either this or La Cucaracha about a dope-smoking cockroach, and we already used that one in the elementary schools." Harrowing news from Russia this week, where a mini-submarine became trapped in metal debris at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. The sub got tangled in the wires of an underwater monitoring station, leaving only a few days' supply of oxygen available to the crew. In an eerie echo of the Kursk disaster, Russian authorities kept the accident secret the first day. Then they tried to rescue the sub themselves the next day. They only accepted help from England and other nations as time began running out. Rear Admiral Vladimir Pekelyev told Russian reporters that the crew were keeping their spirits up as best they could, playing cards, telling stories. In fact, before they were miraculously rescued, they actually were able to transmit, by Morse code, the words and music to a song one of the sailors wrote about the situation. I happen to have it here, and in tribute to that brave and saved crew of the AS-28, I'm going to sing it now. I think it shows their resilience, their spunk, and their hilarious misery. In the dacha where I was born lives a man who sailed the sea. When I turned 14 years old, they gagged and bound and shanghaied me. So we sailed into the sun till we crashed into a reef. Now we sink beneath the waves, and we sing in pain and grief. We all die on a stupid submarine, stupid submarine, stupid submarine. We all die on this stupid submarine, stupid submarine, stupid submarine. All our friends from other ships won't get close to us till it's too late. While the whales and fish and sea, we completely contaminate. We all die on a stupid submarine, stupid submarine, stupid submarine. We all die on this stupid submarine, stupid submarine, stupid submarine. Oxygen is running out, and our food supply is far from clean. As the crew begins to pray, we all die
on this
stupid submarine. Stupid submarine. Stupid submarine. So we blub
inside the sub,
which I wish I had never seen. We're turning blue,
we're peeing green
in this hellhole submarine. Submarine! We all die on this hellhole submarine. Hellhole submarine. Stupid submarine. Yes, we all die on a hellhole submarine. Hellhole submarine. Hellhole submarine. Just the men. We all die on this hellhole submarine.
Do you believe in Pod? Not God, Pod! Being able to download radio from the internet and listen to a podcast anytime, anywhere. Well, now you can do it with Dave's Gone By. 20 full episodes downloadable from theaterpod.com. Even without an iPod, you can just listen right on your computer. Go to theaterpod.com for radio on demand and hours of Dave's Gone By to enjoy. Theaterpod.com, it's free because Pod is love.
Hi, everybody. This is Tom Paxton, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Returning to the Dave's Gone By News Gone By on this Thursday, August 11th, not everyone gets married in a wedding chapel or a municipal park. Folks have taken their vows at baseball stadiums, Disneyland, bowling alleys, even underwater. But Jamie Sue Smithart and her boyfriend, William Zentmeyer, have a plan so much more romantic. They want to be wed in a local graveyard. Jamie Sue says when she was a teenager, the Oak Hill Cemetery was a place she'd always escaped to for peace and quiet. The City Works Board of Evansville, Indiana, has so far voiced no objection to the request, though wedding guests have been warned to be careful and solemn and respectful, especially during the chicken dance. In celebrity news, scary moment for Marie Osmond last week when her garage burned down. One of her children woke up and noticed flames shooting out through the garage window. Osmond and her husband grabbed all their 8 kids, rushed outside, and called the fire department, which put out the blaze in a few minutes. No one was hurt, though both the garage and an office above it were destroyed. Undaunted, Marie will honor her commitment to shopping network QVC, where next week she introduces a new porcelain doll called Melty. Catch a stray cow and put it in a shelter, get it off the big highway. That could be the new jingle for the High Court of New Delhi, which passed an ordinance encouraging people to catch stray cows. According to Reuters, an estimated 35,000 cows and buffaloes roam free in this capital city, which is not rural. I mean, you can see traffic jams on major throughways caused by camels and cattle. This has proved dangerous, of course, and hard to solve since cows are still sacred over there. But now, if you catch one harmlessly and bring it to a shelter, you are given 2,000 rupees for your troubles. Actually, that's only 46 American dollars. And I don't understand what's so terrible about cars traveling side by side with cattle. If a cow notices a car is getting too close, all he has to do is use his horn. Yes! 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 That's the sound of the comedy bell. It signals that Dave's Gone By. Bad pun of the week. Whenever we do the news gone by, we make a play on words so utterly bad, so buffalo-ly, that it's a catalyst for us to ring the comedy bell. The bell that tells you why you should advertise your product, event, or service on Dave's Gone By. For just a few rupees a week, less than the reward for corralling Bessie, you can be part of this special hour of radio. Dave's Gone By has a loyal following, people who listen for the jokes, the music, the strange opinions, people who listen when I talk about sponsors. We are on a 1,000-watt radio station, covering many miles and millions of people, and that's not counting the internet, where Dave's Gone By streams live all over the world. And that is not counting cable radio, where the best of Dave's Gone By airs on the West Coast and also on the net. And that is not counting podcasts, where entire episodes are archived. So, one little advertisement takes on both a life and a shelf life of its own. If money's tight, try a 30-second ad for a few weeks, see how it goes. If you really want to make a splash, go for a whole sponsorship package. Either way, bring your message to my medium, call 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511. We'll email you the rate card, davesgoneby@aol.com, or see prices on my website, davesgoneby.org. Fall is around the corner, with Dave's Gone By nearing its third anniversary in October. Be part of that excitement. Advertise on Dave's Gone By. 516-295-1511 to sponsor the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Don't be good. Be punderful. Time for sports news in the News Gone By. You know, usually I'm all for freedom of speech and freedom of the press and saying what you mean, even if it's a little hurtful and insulting at times, as people who listen to this show know. Still, I have to agree with San Francisco Giants manager Felipe Alou when he refused to accept the apology of radio broadcaster Larry Kruger. Kruger is the host of Sports Phone on KNBR, the Giants' flagship station. The team is only 6 games out of first, but that's just because they're in a lame division. They're 13 games under 500 and haven't seemed in any hurry to make a wild card run. Well, Kruger said as much on his radio show, and apparently he said a whole lot more, including mocking the team's lack of slugging power and run production. Only problem is he put the blame for the struggling team on, quote, brain-dead Caribbean hitters hacking at slop. Tough year for Caribbeans, what with Natalie Holloway and now this yutz. Obviously, there was a firestorm, especially when Kruger went on to castigate the higher-ups, saying, quote, you have a manager in Felipe Alou whose mind has turned to cream of wheat, unquote. Now, this statement alone wouldn't be terribly offensive, but since it was linked in the same speech to calling Caribbeans on the team brain dead, well, Kruger obviously needed his own cranium examined. He was suspended by the radio station for a week, and he attempted to apologize to Alou, who, as I said, refused the apology and called him an idiot. Alou called Kruger's punishment, quote, a slap on the hand, and vowed to boycott KNBR's pregame show. He told the press it was just another example of anti-Latino bias in baseball and media, although even I detected a hint of Quaker oatmeal in his noggin when he told the Associated Press, quote, it's been going on a long time. They blame steroids on Mexico and the Dominican Republic. I guarantee you can get steroids in the United States, too. Really, Felipe? Can we have the name of your dealer? And while you're at it, keep the number to Rafael Palmeiro, since it's certainly time he knowingly took the drug instead of all those years of unknowingly injecting something from somewhere to make him big and strong and really pimply. Speaking of racially sensitive sports news, the California legislature is debating a bill that would outlaw its public schools from having sports teams with names seen as being insensitive to Native Americans. All elementary, high school, and community colleges will have to rename any team called the Redskins, Indians, Tomahawks, Comanches, Apaches, etc. People who oppose the bill say the names are usually complimentary, like Braves or Chiefs. But civil rights groups say ethnic titles and mascots promote racial divisions and stereotypes. The bill is already having repercussions beyond California. In New York, Chaim Abramowitz Jewish High School has voted to change the name of its chess team to the Kings, which everyone agrees is much better than their current name, the Angry Schwatzes. In theater news, the current Broadway revival of Fiddler on the Roof announced it would close shortly after the new year, capping a 2-year run. Producers also said that the role of Golda, recently played by Andrea Martin, will now go to none other than Rosie O'Donnell. This casting raised eyebrows not so much over O'Donnell's inexperience, since by now she has half a dozen Broadway musical credits, but because she'll be paired with the show's Tevye, Harvey Fierstein. So what was once a revival praised for its warm, even romantic undertow between Tevye and Golda is now likely to have all the sensuality of an onion sandwich. Still, Producers say they're not changing anything about the production. They won't break with tradition to accommodate the lifestyle choices of its two stars. Though there is word that the pogrom that ends the first act will now be turned into a vicious gay bashing. Tevye will be transformed from a humble milkman into a fabulous hairstylist. Yenta the matchmaker will now be Golda's special friend, and all five daughters will be in vitro. Turning to financial news, although the stock market has been roaring along the last few weeks, there has been one fly in the ointment: oil prices. Last week, the price for a barrel of light sweet crude went over $62, pennies shy of its all-time high. Investors became especially worried since the hike came on the death of Saudi King Fahd, the height of a northeast heat wave, and the beginning of hurricane season in the Atlantic. Asked for his assessment of the situation, a spokesman for OPEC said, "Ha ha! No, but this is a rather serious situation. So serious that I wrote a song about it. Feel free to sing along, roast marshmallows, molest a Girl Scout. It's all good. It's called 99 Barrels of Oil. 99 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 99 barrels of oil. If one of those barrels should happen to fall into the hands of Saddam Hussein loyalists, there'd be 98 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 98 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 98 barrels of oil. If one of those barrels should happen to fall off the transport truck and into the Arabian Sea, the market price would go up to $65 and there'd be 97 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 97 barrels of oil. If two of those barrels should happen to disappear from their storage facility, along with three rocket launchers and a Grumman surface-to-air missile, there'd be 95 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 95 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 95 barrels of oil. If 10 of those barrels should happen to be next to an Iraqi terrorist who blows himself up, killing himself, two police trainees, and an American contractor, there'd be 86 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 86 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 86 barrels of oil. If 31 of those barrels should happen to disappear and make their way across the border to Libya without the House of Saud knowing anything about it, honest, there'd be 55 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 55 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 55 barrels of oil. If 19 of those barrels should happen to spring a slow leak that nobody discovers until Osama bin Laden mentions them in a mocking speech on Al Jazeera, there'd be 36 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 36 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 36 barrels of oil. If 27 of those barrels should happen to be stolen by Hamas and then used to create a fireball that torches 8 Israeli nightclubs, there'd be 9 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 9 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 9 barrels of oil. If 6 of those barrels should happen to actually be filled with sand, even though the Syrians were paid millions and millions of dollars for their highest grade crude, there'd be 3 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 3 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 3 barrels of oil. If one of those barrels should happen to be smuggled onto an American Airlines jet, hijacked by two Pakistanis wielding really scary-looking box cutters as they crash into the 38th floor of the Empire State Building, there'd be 2 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 2 barrels of oil in the Gulf. 2 barrels of oil. If one of those barrels should happen to be used up by all the gas-guzzling SUVs and four-wheel minis that people are still buying, even though there's only 2 f***ing barrels of oil left, there'd be 1 barrel of oil in the Gulf. 1 barrel of oil in the Gulf. 1 barrel of oil. If the current administration actually realizes there's a shortage crisis, well, first they invade Iran, Kuwait, and North Korea, during which Al-Qaeda regroups and joins with South American drug lords to attack Western Europe. This forces America, England, and Canada to declare war on South America, Central America, and Pakistan, causing Russia and China to form an alliance and use Cuba as a nuclear launch site, which quickly demolishes the lower half of the United States, while the upper half targets the Arab and Asian continents. But their chemical weapons go off course and accidentally hit Africa and New Zealand as well. So Australia launches retaliatory strikes at Washington, New York, and Chicago, which all go up in a massive vortex of smoke and debris and body parts, as do all the other continents and countries except for the Antarctic region, where the few remaining Eskimos live off fish and penguins for a while. But those die from radiation, which eventually poisons the Eskimos too. So basically, all of the wildlife, nature, and humanity sinks into the ground, which at this point is just a radioactive desert of muck and debris. But after a few million years, vegetation appears, which leads to small bodies of water and multicellular organisms that soon turn into fish and reptiles and flying reptiles that become birds and big fish that crawl on the sand and become bears and giraffes and monkeys, which, over time, get smaller, less hairy, and walk upright. First men, then women, and they learn to hunt and fish and gather food. And thanks to oceanic tides and the decomposition of diatoms and other organic matter, there's 99 billion gallons of oil in the Gulf. But the cavemen don't care, because what do they know from oil, right? All they care about is food and fresh water. So they organize into tribes and start stockpiling, which leads to trading and deals and occasional hostilities. And one tribe has 99 gallons of water in its cave, while the other tribe has only 31 gallons of water. Well, you can probably guess what happens in the rest of the scenario, so I'm just going to stop and grab a beer. Finally, in the news gone by, whether they live in the Middle East, Europe, or America, Muslims invariably demand that they have things their way. Well, now they can in eastern Paris, thanks to a new fast food restaurant called Burger King. That's spelled B-E-U-R-G-E-R. Burger, from the Arab word bir, meaning a second-generation North African living in France. Burger King Muslim has most of the usual fast food fare. Burgers, fries, soda, sundaes. Only difference is the meat is halal, and the waitstaff wears traditional Islamic clothing. Oh, and please note that Burger King is not owned by or in any way connected to Burger King, the American chain, which is, of course, looking into the legality of the new enterprise. Otherwise, so far, the Paris restaurant is a big success and seen as a rare positive glimpse into the Muslim community. Yes, there are occasional explosions, but those are easily treated with kaopectate and a roll of Charmin. And that's the news gone by for August 11th, 2005. Please send your comments, opinions, and halal cheeseburgers to Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. You can also email davesgoneby@aol.com or give us a look at davesgoneby.org. Either way, we want to hear from you and about you and what you think about us. If you like the show, tell your friends, your neighbors, your news groups. Tell people in the radio biz, terrestrial and otherwise, so we can take the show to the next level in New York and all over the country. But if nothing else, just take a minute to get in touch. Send email, postcards, letters, packages, but please, no barrels of oil. That would just be crude.
And that was news. Yes, that was news. That was very, very, very special news.
If I were a rich man.
If I were a rich man, I could do the Dave's Gone By show for years and years and never have to worry about money. But that's not the way things have worked out, so I need your help. You can help me by helping yourself by advertising or sponsoring segments on Dave's Gone By. It's easy, it's cheap. Just go to davesgoneby.com and see the rate card, davesgoneby.com, and bring your message to my listeners and make us both rich.
Big tall house with a roof.
WGBB, the place for you and me. We're one big family. And let me make one thing clear. There's so many shows to hear, like Joyce Keller, the radio psychic, Wednesday's 11 p.m. She's one fine uncanny chick. And Friday's at 6. If you can't get a date, there's Bonnie D. Graham telling you how to mate. Saturday nights, the Mikey and Jimmy Show. For rock and roll comedy, the place to go. And make sure to listen on Sundays, too. At 7 p.m., it's Joe Salzo's Worldview. So many programs on 1240 a.m. If you have half a brain, you tune in to them. Yes, WGBB is the place to listen all week long. Joyce Keller, Wednesdays at 11, Long Island's Dating with Bonnie D. Graham. Friday nights at 6, Mikey and Jimmy. And Politics on Worldview with Joe Saldone, Sundays at 7. So if you love Dave's Gone By, give these other shows a try. They serve your community. If you listen, you'll know why.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. You know, since the death of guitar legend Jimi Hendrix in 1970, it would seem we know everything and anything about him. He released only 4 studio albums during his lifetime, but more than 300 bootlegs have surfaced since then, and it seems every year there's a new biography about his crazy, crazy life. Well, now there's another one, called Room Full of Mirrors, and it's apparently more in-depth than most. And by talking firsthand to relatives and other musicians and digging through files and public records, the author, Charles Cross, has come up with a fuller picture of this legendary rock artist. Turns out, by researching Hendrix's Army medical records, Cross discovered a fascinating twist to Jimmy's early history. To discuss it and hopefully shed more light on this bombshell, we have with us in the studio Peter Fitzgerald. He's one of our favorite recurring guests, and I can't think of anyone more appropriate to cast his reflection on this room full of mirrors. Welcome, Peter.
Well, hello there. I have such mixed feelings over these new revelations about Jimi Hendrix. He was always something of a hero of mine, because he was flamboyant and free and big and black and big and black and big. And he could do things with a guitar that I couldn't do with 10 strap-ons and 15 extra fingers. What a magical performer. And it's such a shame he didn't live past the 60s. What would he be doing now, do you think? The Jimi Hendrix Experience, the musical? Opening for Lenny Kravitz? Touring with the Grateful Dead, with or without Jerry. One can only speculate, preferably with a speculum. But you know, Jimi Hendrix was part African, part European, part Cherokee Indian, and part Mexican, which left him a psychological mess, because the black part of him would beat up the Mexican part, while the European in him would keep trying to squeeze out the Indian. Jimmy was 12 years old when he got his first electric guitar, and he was already serious about music in high school. But then he got expelled for holding a white girl's hand in class. And let me tell you, I would have expelled him too! Why did he have to go for some bosomy estrogen bag when all those hot teenage boys were just aching for a little chocolate in their skim milk? So, what does Jimmy do? What does any poor black kid do in America? He joins the army. And what does the army do? Tries to kill him by pushing him out of airplanes. Now here's the wicky-wacky part. All these years, it was the accepted story that Jimi Hendrix was released from the military because he twisted his ankle in an accident. Seems plausible enough, only now that story is disputed in a new biography by Charles Cross called Room Full of Mirrors. And I've been in a few of those. In the book, Hendrix was excused from further service and probably spared a one-way trip to Vietnam, not because of his little black ankles. The book says he was examined by a psychiatrist who diagnosed in Jimmy, quote, homosexual tendencies, and the shrink, there's a word I don't like, the psychiatrist recommended him for discharge. There's a word I do like. According to the book, in order to get the heck out of the army, Jimmy told the doctor he had the hots for another boy in the squad. Not only that, he admitted that he was addicted to masturbating. Well, back then, doctors frowned upon such things. These days, hell, if masturbation is an addiction, I should have a wing at Betty Ford. Wiggle, wiggle! But it worked. Jimmy made it back to the States safe and sound, just with his ankles a little thicker and his palms a little hairier. The irony is that he wasn't a big anti-war nut.
He was just a coward. He apparently hated communists and had no feelings one way or the other about Southeast Asia. He just didn't want to die. At least, not then. But what an interesting story this is, if it's true. And Charlie Cross says he has the military records to back all this up. So, how am I, a gay man, supposed to feel about this new wrinkle in the Jimi Hendrix experience? Sure, it was a brave, funky thing for him to do in that day and age. I mean, back then, it wasn't don't ask, don't tell. It was just don't. I love that he played the army for his own devices, knowing that there were such sick homophobes, they'd never keep in barracks if they knew he was coveting his neighbor's ass. But at the same time, I do have to express some distaste at his using gayness as a negative stereotype when he isn't one of us. Imagine how blind people would feel if recruits went in for their physicals with dark glasses and white canes. I'm sorry, but don't use my perversion for your diversion. Not without my permission and a safe word, anyway. Of course, the biggest disappointment for my tribe is that Jimmy was straighter than a guitar neck throughout his career. He wore a lot of bright colors and scarves, but there wasn't a hint of Nancy in Jimmy. Or was there? If you look at his songs, maybe there was some latent homosexuality there, some clues to Jimmy's true nature, his gayness. Think about it. Who hasn't heard that line in Purple Haze and thought, "Excuse me while I kiss this guy?" This guy? Which guy? Must be the same guy who makes him sing, "You got me blowing my mind." Uh-huh. I guess your mind must be behind the zipper of David Bowie's bell bottoms. He's acting funny, and he don't know why? I'll tell him why. He's got a Woody for Noel Redding, that's why. I mean, you saw the way he humped that guitar in Monterey Pop. He just ran his tongue up and down the neck, for Christ's sakes. Why didn't he just hang a big sign over his ass reading, "Insert drumstick here"? Look at some other songs on that album, 51st Anniversary, all about why heterosexual couples shouldn't marry. Love or Confusion? Sounds like confusion to me, Jimmy James. May This Be Love? Well, may it. And what about that hot little lyric in Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire? Oh, move over, Rover, and let Jimmy take over. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, we do, Jimmy. And we know what position Rover's in, too. As a matter of fact, I even have a special bootleg tape of that recording session. And the original version of Fire, the one that didn't make it to the album, there's a slight lyric shift, and I think it's very telling about Mr. Hendrix's preferences. Listen carefully.
I've only one itch and desire. Let me stand next to your penis.
Let me stand
next to
your penis.
Let me stand, baby.
Penis.
Let me stand.
Penis.
Let me stand.
Penis.
I'll move over, Rover. And let Jimmy take over. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
My goodness. Maybe he should have changed his name to Jimi Hendix, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, and let me tell you something. I've seen Joe, and that's not a gun in his hand. And this is all just from the first album, Are You Experienced? Experienced with what, Jimmy? Now, okay, the second album, Axis Bold as Love, is very hetero. He was hiding. He got famous. He couldn't risk being a sissy boy guitar hero. So he writes songs like She's So Fine, Little Miss Lover, Little Wing. Oh, I could just puke. But 2 years later, he was letting his freak flag fly again on the misleadingly titled Electric Ladyland. The very first track, And the Gods Made Love. Not the goddesses, the gods. He's talking Greek gods, Apollo, Dionysus, Brad Pitt. Then there is Little Miss Strange. I think we know what's strange about her is she's not built like a miss. Burning of the Midnight Lamp,
which is a metaphor for polishing the midnight lamp with baby oil, if you know what I'm saying. And how about that long jam? Ooh, there's another word I like. That long instrumental on Electric Ladyland called 1983, A Merman I Shall Turn to Be. A merman? No, a merman! Deep in his little hearty heart of hearts, Jimmy wants to be Ethel Merman. Can you imagine him wailing away on Rose's turn? Everything's coming up groovy. Everything's coming up sunshine and daffodils for me. Brothers and sisters for me. Oh, mama, it's getting hot. Even on Band of Gypsies, he does a song called Machine Gun. Well, what is a machine gun if not a big metal phallus that can shoot over and over and over again, like Jeff Stryker in a men's locker room? But then, poor Jimmy, all too soon, like so many closeted gay men of that era, it was all over. Too many drugs, too much pressure. They say he choked to death on his own vomit, but knowing what we do now, isn't it more likely he choked to death on Jim Neighbor's vomit? Or Jim Neighbor's? Wiggle, wiggle. Oh, Jimmy, if you were living now, I would wrap my arms around you and say, it's okay to be gay. You don't have to sublimate your urges by plowing skinny white girls. Let Tom Cruise do that. You don't have to bury your sexuality in long, jazzy guitar solos. You know they bore the crap out of anyone who isn't downing handfuls of Seconal. You don't have to answer to the man, unless the man is dressed in leather and you want him to loosen your harness. Seriously, Jimmy, it's 2005, and today, tomorrow, and to the end of time, you can wave your star-spangled banana at Woodstock, at the White House, and anywhere you want.
What do the letters DFSX stand for? They stand for Dave's Gone By, that's what, because DFSXRadio.com is rebroadcasting vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By every Thursday night at 8 and 11 Eastern Time. So you hear me on GBB and then listen to me on DFSXRadio.com every Thursday night at 8 and 11. It's all the Dave you could ever want, kinda.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. Thank you so much for being with us on this Thursday evening. A couple of plugs before we exit across the universe tonight. Neil Innes, our guest a couple of months back, terrific interview. And then I had the pleasure of seeing him perform live at B.B. King's at the time. Well, if you missed him then, awesome news. He's going to be doing a full 2 weeks at the Cabaret Club Dillon's on West 54th Street. He's there September 6th through September 18th, and it's a smaller, more intimate venue than King's, with tickets reasonably priced at $30. He's even got a backing band to help him play songs from his new CD, Works in Progress. So make your plans now. Call Dillon's Supper Club 212-307-9797. Remember, this is the guy who did the Ruddles and the Sir Robin song from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I absolutely guarantee you will have a delightful time seeing Neil Innes. Another heads up, still several weeks away, The Railroaded, the documentary about Larry Wildman Fisher, is finally going to get some New York screenings. The Ubin twins, Josh Rubin and Jeremy Lubin, who directed the movie, have been taking it to various film and video festivals. This month, they're mostly in Texas. But come early November, it's playing a full week at the Two Boots Pioneer Theater that's near the pizza place down on East 3rd Street off Avenue A. Tickets are $9, but there are discounts for students and seniors, so if you are as fascinated as I've always been by Wildman Fisher, and having Jeremy and Josh on my show only made me even more eager to see their film, Derailroaded, coming to New York in November. Details at derailroaded.com.
Well, time for me to ride the railroad out of here. I want to thank Hewlett Minuteman Press, the kings of copies, and Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Remember that Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off from both of these great sponsors. For more information, visit davesgoneby.org. That's also the place to go if you want to advertise on this program. We've also popped the lyrics to a couple of the songs we did tonight on the website, so you can despise them in your own spare time. To read even more of my words, buy my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. That's on sale at the website, as are CD copies of many, many episodes of this show, including this very one. Also, at davesgoneby.org, links where you can hear this show at other times besides Thursdays at 7. Granted, this is the only time and the only place Dave's Gone By premieres its new episodes. But to hear an older program of the show, click on the link at my website and go to DFSX Radio right now from 8 to 9 Eastern. They play the best of Dave's Gone By every Thursday night, and even if you miss it now, you can listen again at 11. Just click the DFSX link from davesgoneby.org. And not only that, there are also older episodes you can hear anytime by going to theaterpod.com. And don't forget that I'm back here at WGBB 1 hour from now for Filler Up. Now, we're doing the same kind of thing we did last week. We're playing a game through music. So have a pen and paper handy to write down the names of the songs we're going to play, because those titles will give you the clues to figure out which song will end the show. I'll explain more at 9 on Filler Up. Nor need to explain how much I love my wife, Joyce, for being so great, nor to explain how much I enjoy doing this program with the blessings of station manager Jeff Lowe and program director Tom Ross. Right at this moment, I'm not sure if I will have more new episodes of Dave's Gone By in August for the next 2 weeks. I might take a short end of summer break, might not. You'll just have to tune in to find out. Either I'm back live next week, or at the very latest, Thursday, September 1st, for the 140th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night, penis, and gone by. Through your life.